Despite his own open acknowledgement of what the Grand Inquisitor and his colleagues had intended for Karras, the skin around Adamson's eyes seemed to tighten briefly as Stainer used the term group of four. He made no protest against the Archbishop's choice of words, however.
No one ever explained that particular aspect of it to us, Your Eminence. Nonetheless, I was aware of it. And to match frankness for frankness, I was none too confident it would do any good, in my own case at least. It's the tradition in your own navy, I believe, that a captain is responsible for whatever happens aboard his ship. The Council of Vicars will, quite rightly, to be fair, hold me at least partly accountable for what's transpired here. Despite that, it was always my intention to disassociate myself from your kingdom's defiance of Mother Church. I could scarcely hold your legitimate self-defense against unprovoked attack against you, but in rejecting the authority even of the Grand Vicar, I felt you'd gone too far. Not simply in doctrinal terms, but in terms of the inevitable consequences, not simply for Corris, but for all of Safehold. And then, yesterday, I received this.
He held up the folded paper he'd taken from his pocket.
And that is?
Stainer asked politely.
A personal letter from Archbishop Erake, Adamson said very quietly. One addressed jointly to Father Pater and myself.
I see.
Stainer managed to keep his fresh surprise out of his voice or expression, although the possibility of a letter from Erake Dinis to Adamson and Wilson had never occurred to him. Nor had there been any reason for him to suspect one had arrived. At Stainer's own insistence, Caleb had directed that his guest's incoming mail was not to be tampered with. The king had insisted that any outgoing correspondence must be carefully examined and subject to censorship, but no one had attempted to restrict messages to Adamson or Wilson.
Since the letter appears to be what inspired you to ask for this interview, may I assume you intend to share its contents with me?
You may, Your Eminence.
Adamson's voice was heavy, his mouth grim.
Your Eminence, he said, Archbishop Erake is dead.
I beg your pardon?
Stainer sat suddenly straighter behind his desk.
I said Archbishop Erake is dead, Adamson repeated. The news hasn't reached us here in Karras yet. I realize that. However, Archbishop Erake's letter leaves me in no doubt that he is indeed dead by now, executed by the Inquisition for malfeasance, apostasy, heresy, and treason against God's Church and against God himself.
Stainer's face tightened. He needed no one to tell him what penalties the Book of Schuler laid down for anyone convicted of those offenses, far less one of Mother Church's own archbishops.
The archbishop's letter isn't lengthy, Your Eminence, Adamson said. He was denied access to paper and ink for the purposes of correspondence, and had to improvise to obtain even this single sheet. I'm not certain how he managed to get this one note out, either, given his strict confinement by the Inquisition. I feel certain his silence on that point was intended to protect whoever he entrusted it to, but what it does say is very much to the point.
And that point is? Stainer asked quietly.
He begins by informing Father Pater and myself of the grounds for his arrest and the sentence passed upon him. He asks us to forgive him and to pray for his soul, despite his many failures. He also specifically asked me to leave this letter with you, for you to make use of in whatever way seems best to you, and he apologizes for his failure to protect and nurture the souls of his archbishopric in the way God demands of his priests. And,
Adamson looked levelly into Stainer's eyes,
he makes bold to give us one last directive as our archbishop.
And that directive is?
He does not order us, for he says he feels he no longer has that right, but he urgently entreats us to remain here in Charis. He says that he fears that should we return to Zion or to the Temple Lands, we too would be forced to answer to the Inquisition. He accepts his own fate, but as our priestly superior, he enjoins us to preserve our lives against unjust punishment and judicial murder by remaining beyond the Inquisition's reach. And he begs us to do whatever we may to atone for his failure and ours as the spiritual shepherds of Charis.